Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
This is Havala's podcast, and I'm Ben Cunnington. Thanks so much for joining us. We are in the middle of a podcast series on motherhood. Havala's been having some conversations on motherhood with a few friends of hers, and last week she had on a good friend, Andy Andrew, from New York City, and today we have the honor of having our great friend, Lisa Bevere, on. And so in just a minute we're going to jump right into that, but we just love Lisa and her whole family, really. John and all of her sons we've gotten to know over the last couple of years, and just really love just who they are, and Lisa, and just the things that they are doing as a family is just incredible. And so it's always an honor to get to have a chance to talk with Lisa. And so we're going to continue on. This is part two of our Conversations on Motherhood series. So, get ready, enjoy, and we will see you at the end.
Okay, so today I'm really excited to be joined by my friend, and I call her my Italian godmother. Lisa Bevere is on the podcast today.
Yay! Oh, I'm so happy to be with you.
I'm really honored. I always love you. For those that are kind of new to the podcast, Lisa and I met, I would say, what was it, at least 3 years ago?
Well, it was at the First Wonder, so I think it was almost 3 years ago.
And basically, somebody introduced us online on Instagram. I did the shameless, if anybody wants to introduce me to Lisa Bevere, I'm available. And then Lisa Turkhurst introduced us, and then you called me.
Well, I direct messaged you on Instagram, and I was like, hey, here's my phone number. Let's talk. And you're like, I didn't ask to talk to you.
I panicked. I told my husband, I'm like, okay, what scriptures can I use on the phone? I don't even know how to.
That's hilarious.
I think we talked for, 20, 25 minutes. You were on your way to some speaking event, on your way to the airport. And it was literally love at first sound. I mean, I just loved you. And really, you can kind of fall in love with somebody initially, like be enamored. But we've done life together now for a couple of years. And to be honest, you're still one of my favorite people.
Oh, and we slept on a bus together. So after that, if we still like each other, that's really saying something.
We got lost together in Nashville. I mean, we've had some moments.
That's right. We were locked out. I forgot about that.
That's right. And also getting to meet your sons and then my boys. And
they love you.
Oh,
yes.
Together we both have four boys. I should say four men and four boys. And so there's eight of us.
That's crazy.
It's craziness. And I always was laughing. I was talking to somebody recently on a trip and said, every time I'm with Lisa, I just think if Lisa can make it and look that good, I'm fine. I'm going to be fine.
You're so sweet.
So today we're going to talk a little bit about mothering. And, it's interesting. I think some of us, those that are authors and preachers, and we, clearly we're kind of ministering with the gift that's on our lives. We also have kids, and we're mothers first, and we're wives, and we have like real lives. And so some of the stuff I want to ask is just really about you being a mom, Lisa, because you're a mom of four men. Does that surprise you that you have four men?
You know what? It does until they sit on me or I see them and I'm like, you're large. How did I ever birth you? They're huge.
And your baby is the biggest. That's the
he
funny
is.
Part.
That was survival. That was just survival. And I still remember. I mean, I feel like I'm sitting in the front seat of driving my car. I've got Addison in the passenger seat, and then two other boys, all picking on the youngest one. And I look back in the rearview mirror, and I just said, "Y'all better stop it, because he's going to end up being bigger than all of you, and he's going to take it." And they're like, Mom, don't say that. No, he's not. And I'm like, yes, he is. Yes, he is. And it happened. And I,
happen.
I'm so happy
and
for
him. It's so funny because he's really big and he's calm, but you own the room. I mean, he's that big where he could really own whatever's happening. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're
I'm going to ask you some fun, like rapid fire questions or whatever you want to call it. But how old were you when you first had your first child?
I was 26.
You were 26. Yep. And when you first found out you were pregnant, were you wanting to have a baby or was it a surprise?
No, you know, this is it. So I had this beautiful moment where I had this desire just open up in my heart where I thought, I want to have a son. And I woke up and walked out and there was like a, we had just moved into our very first house and there was like a moonlit night and we had a little overlook and I just said, you know, I just said, God, I really want a son. And I got pregnant the very first time we tried to have Addison. Yeah. And so I was just thrilled with joy and super excited and was on the last day working for a company, a pharmaceutical company that had a cosmetic line called Elizabeth Arden. And I had a dream the night before my last day that I was pregnant. And so I ran out, got a pregnancy test, called them and said, oh my gosh, today's my last day of work, but I just found out I was pregnant. And they said, it's $150 for you to have a baby. You're covered.
No, it was God knew.
It was, yes, he was like, she better find out today. It was crazy.
That's right. I'd be like, hey, can I use your bathroom to pee on a stick to make sure I'm pregnant in your corporate office? Thank you.
I was in Corpus Christi when I found out. It
that
was crazy.
Is amazing. So did when you first found out, you obviously were excited, but who did you tell first?
Well, the people that had helped me pick up the pregnancy test, I know that's not cool, but they were the first people I don't even remember the name of now.
Were they friends or like who? No,
so I was actually calling on a store. So I had, I think I had five states and so I was calling or no, I'm sorry, eight states. And so I was calling on one of my stores and the account coordinator for the store, we just, you know, she got me a stick to pee on. And she definitely knew. And then also I had been asking for chili every single day for lunch. And so there was a British makeup artist and she said, are you pregnant? And I said, why would you say that? And she was like, you're craving chili. You're having chili. And,
I would never think that. Why? Because it was a major
the meat, the iron.
Protein.
I always craved red meat for the beginning of my pregnancies. I would just be like a carnivore. It was terrifying. So
they say that if you're having a girl, you crave citrus. I don't know if that's true, but my sister is pregnant with her daughter. I mean, she could not have enough oranges or grapefruit or whatever. That was her go-to. And I couldn't do it. It was too much heartburn from the very beginning.
Heartburn was a very real thing with my boys.
Me too.
I thought it was like a joke thing. Like, oh, I have heartburn. Just like somebody is saying it. And then I had it. And I felt like I'd swallowed a cigar.
Me too. And I was like,
this is serious. It needs to be in prayer lines. What's going on?
I remember Googling, like, what's going to happen if the stomach acid is, like, it touched my esophagus too much? And is it going to affect my whole life? Because it was just so intense. And I had the seven pillows and I had a body pillow, Philippe. And we went to bed with all of us. It was Ben, body pillow, Philippe, and then the seven pillows. And then
hilarious.
I was like a double dose of Zantac. Which
what's that?
It's like a
antacid.
Yes. So I would take this, go to Costco and get the two pills. It's really supposed to take like one when you're pregnant, but I would take two. And then I'd put my Mylanta in the fridge. And I'd take a swig of Mylanta and then go to bed. It was horrible. I still remember it to this day.
I ate Tums. I carried Tums in my purse and I just chewed them like they were Starburst. It was like non-stop Tums chewing. That was it.
They have these new Tums that are like Mentos and they're so, I got them. I thought, oh, this will be interesting. And I couldn't help myself. I just started eating them nonstop.
Oh no.
I told my husband, I go, don't ever buy this kind because I have no self-control when it comes to these. I think it's medicine. So I think I assume that this is fine, but no, not so good.
Okay, it's not.
Let me ask you, this is like kind of funny, but I'm curious. Did you gain a lot of weight in your first pregnancy?
Oh my gosh. In my first one, I gained a lot of weight in all my pregnancies. I believed in a minimum of a 40-pound weight gain. for a good baby. So I my lowest I did was 38, and I was like, wow, that was really not
that
good.
Was you really?
Yeah, that was when we were poor. And then when I was, well, we were actually poor with all my pregnancies. And then I was 52 pounds with Alec. And that's because, yeah. Oh,
52 pounds.
No, I have stretch marks that look like I was clawed by a tiger. I ate ice cream every single night. We were living in Orlando. Yes. It was so hot. I would do Breyers coffee ice cream, and then I would melt Ghirardelli chocolate with some kind of oil like safflower in the microwave, pour it on top of it and eat it. My face was so fat that my license expired at the end of June. I thought Alec would come before it expired, and he didn't.
No.
I had to go in on June 31st. I was already like 6 days past my due date. And they were like, ma'am, we need you to turn your face to the side. We can't get your whole face in the picture. It was so fat. And I was in a bright orange gauze jumpsuit.
Yes.
Jumpsuit. I was in a... I looked like a pumpkin. I thought it was so cool because I had big earrings on. Right. And I also got a spiral perm to try to make my face. I did to try to make my face not look so fat.
Lisa, yep, hysterical.
That's so funny.
I gained so much weight that I would kept adding jewelry thinking that it was And so by the time I would see like old photos of me preaching at like 8 months pregnant, I had earrings, necklace, bracelets. Like it looked like I was like some, you know, Italian woman, just like.
Which we are. Maybe that's what it was. But I had those earrings that would hang from your ears all the way down to almost your shoulder to try to take in my jawline because I had jowls when I was pregnant. John and I went on a missions trip. I know this doesn't sound like, but we were in St. Martin. It was a scary place we were staying.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm not going to rent a car. You need to walk is what he said to me. He said, I've never seen your butt this big. I was so huge. I couldn't even swim without turning over.
And stuff. Like when you start walking, I mean, I remember seeing these red patches where my arms rubbed and my legs rubbed because your body is just, it's different. It's like, wow.
No, I was huge. There was no cute pictures of me pregnant. There's none. My daughter-in-law was beautiful and radiant. I look like a toad. I was just huge.
Well, you're making up for it now. Let's be honest. But
no.
I think that's encouraging because I think women need to know that you can be totally ugly pregnant and be totally normal. this whole idea of like the baseball, I just carried a little baseball. I didn't know you're pregnant from the rear end. I mean, people knew I was pregnant from my face from the get go. They were like, yeah, you're pregnant.
I waddled.
Yes.
It was embarrassing.
So real. Okay. So when you obviously craved chili, was there anything else that you craved when you were pregnant?
Well, obviously ice cream too. So coffee, ice cream, chili.
The coffee ice is amazing. Oh, my mouth is watering right now.
I put some cinnamon on it too. Yeah, it was really good.
Yes.
I'm trying to think, what else did I crave?
Yeah, we used to ice cream.
Pizza. But John wouldn't let me have it. He told me I needed to get my flesh under control. He's hilarious. I think he said that with Alec, he thought there was no coming back.
He was like,
it's not going to happen this time. It's not coming off, Lisa. I know you think it is, but it's not. This is terrifying.
Well, you showed him.
I did.
So did you find out what your boys, like, did you know you were having boys or girls? Did you always find the gender out?
So with my first child, they didn't do that. So with Addison, we had no idea. And so I really felt like he was a boy. And John really felt like he was a girl. And John was much more popular in our church circle. So at my baby shower, they gave me a bunch of girl stuff. And I remember I had gone 2 weeks over and I thought, well, you know what? He's not coming because I have a bunch of girl stuff. So I waddled out to the mall and returned everything, got like mint green and yellow so that
neutral,
so that my baby could come without shame. And so when he was born a boy, I was not surprised. John was shocked. And then when they found out that Austin was a boy, I remember John saying, why can't you just get an agreement with me? And I'm like, wait a minute, this is not my fault. He regrets saying such thing. But and then Alec at that point, he was like, Alec, like, okay, I remember when I when he thought I was pregnant with a girl with Austin, he wouldn't let me drink coffee. And he'd be like, you're not drinking coffee with my little girl. So then I went to the doctor's office. He told him, she's trying to drink a cup of coffee. And they're like, she can have two cups. And he was like, so then when I found out it was a boy, he was like, you can drink as much coffee as you want. I don't know if he thought it was going to make a little girl ugly. I don't know what, but.
That's so funny. That was his thing. He just assumed.
Yeah.
Oh man. I tried to do a caffeine-free pregnancy, my first one. And then somehow it was like my last trimester. We went in and somebody had got me an iced tea, a black iced tea. And I took a sip of that and that caffeine hit my head and it was like my world cleared up. And I just thought, I eat caffeine. I mean, it was amazing. And I did caffeine all the way through.
I did not do caffeine on my first one because I hadn't discovered it yet. And then, and then when I had my second baby to survive the whole thing, I started drinking drip coffee with Breyers coffee ice cream in it. And then I was like, this happens all day long. I love this. And
oh my gosh. I love that. I'm sure there are so many people that are listening to this just dying. Cause it's true. We all have that. And really when you're pregnant, I try to tell girls this, but your taste buds are so true to you. I mean, what you hope it will taste like, it tastes better. I just remember like all my needs were being met with this bowl of ice cream. And I used to want pot pies, like chicken pot pies.
And there
was, I don't know why, but that's what I wanted. And we had a claim jumper that was near our house. And we had Saturday night's church service and then three Sunday morning services. And I would lead worship or do whatever during the services. And Saturday night we could call it in. And my husband, I'd be too ashamed to walk up, you know, go get get out of the car and go get me a pot pie, and I would eat it in the car on the way home. And it just, I mean, it was, I gained 40 pounds my first pregnancy too. I was just,
yeah, myself, so. I remember my doctor telling me, if you keep up at this rate, you're going to be, and I said, you need to back off. You just need to back off because I'm going to do it. So
do you have any complications in your pregnancy?
You know, the only one I had a complication with was Austin, and it was kind of scary. And this, I hope this doesn't freak people out. If it does, you can edit it. But we were youth pastors with Austin, and we had a young girl who was involved in witchcraft in our youth group. And I always waited till, you know, as late as I could to announce a pregnancy. And so I think I was like 12 weeks pregnant when I announced it. And the pastor announced, John announced it to our youth group, and pastor announced it to the church. And she called my house that Sunday night, and she said, I hear you might be pregnant. And I said, no, I am pregnant. Cause I really did not, you know, I could tell there was something not right. And she said, well, you never know, do you? And she hung up. And I, at that moment, like sensed that she had tried to release a curse. And so I prayed in that moment, and I was like, nope, this isn't happening. Well, I went to work the next day, and I was helping John with his youth thing. Youth program, and I had pantyhose on, and I remember my stomach was cramping, and I thought maybe I shouldn't drink so much coffee, and I went to the bathroom, and I had blood down to my knees.
You did.
I did, and I was like, oh my gosh, and so I very quietly went and got John, and I said, we need to go to the doctors, and he was like, why would we go to the, and I said, we just don't tell anybody what's going on, just we need to go, and we were praying. And on the way over there, he just said, Lisa, I don't know why I sense a witchcraft attack. And I said, well, and I told him, I said, that's interesting. You're picking that up. Cause I told him, I said, this particular person called yesterday. And so he prayed over me, broke the witchcraft attack. And, what happened was we went to the doctors. They saw how much blood I had lost. They ran me into a back room, the nurses, and somehow all the doctors went to lunch without anybody knowing that I was in there. So what happened was the hour and a half later, they come back and they could never find the source of the blood.
They couldn't.
And they put me in bed rest for a week, but Austin, you know, was perfect and whole, and everything was great. That so it was, amazing. It was really scary.
It is scary.
You know, and I think a lot of women, you know, they fight the fact that, you know, and my doctor was really good. He said, now if you get up and go to the bathroom, and you miscarry, that's not your fault. Or make food, you know, fit your family or whatever. He was like, you can't, you know, this is not your fault. So he's like, if this happened, you know, but I just, to be honest with you, I read books to Addison Yeah. And just prayed and read books to myself and had worship music going. And after the weeks, red rust, I never had any more blood.
Isn't that interesting? I know. Yeah. I mean, I remember my first pregnancy with the doctor. She said, she goes, don't take this wrong. She said, but we see women that have, you know, that are on drugs and obviously addicted. And she said, even their babies at times can come out healthy. And she said, of course, we'd never, ever, 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 ever want that to happen. But she was saying, you know, I just want you to know it's really hard to hurt your baby. And what she was doing, again, she was talking to somebody who's very healthy, but she was saying, ultimately, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Like, God made your body to do this well. And so, So she was just basically saying, like, you can't break your baby.
Put you at ease.
Yeah, right. Because you start to panic, like, every bump in the road, you know, every pothole, it's like, drive slower, like, I don't want to hurt the baby. And ultimately, you know, if you protect your baby and you do your best with your body, you know, there's not much control you have over that. So,
I'm sorry. I got to interrupt this podcast for just a minute because I don't want you to miss out. Some of you are thinking, gosh, I'd really like some more training on being a mom. I mean, I know that there are things I really want to learn, and I'm not sure I know everything I need to know. Well, no fear, we got you covered. We did a course called Moms of Men over at Truth Table. This course is a 12-week course on, well, raising men in this day and age, boys, to love God, to serve God, and to just be healthy all the way around. Lisa Bevere and I sit at her kitchen table in Colorado, and we talk through many different topics of identity and sexuality and confidence and discipline and structure and joy and play and all the things that are important in a child's life. So if that interests you, head on over to truthatable.com. And if you have a mom in your life that you think would love something like this, we put together a Mother's Day packet just for her. It includes my brand new book, Stronger Than the Struggle, and I'll even sign it. And we'll add, we'll add a journal in there, and also we'll give this course, Moms of Men, in it. So it's a packet called the Mother's Day Packet. You can order it on Truth to Table and send it to your mom for Mother's Day. All right, back to the podcast.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so question. Did any of your kids have any health issues or challenges, or did they do pretty well?
You know, only Addison had a lot of ear infections, earaches and ear problems. And I remember that was really scary as a young mom because I felt so like I couldn't fix it. I couldn't make it right.
Totally.
But, and then, you know, I really was, you know, like they were like, we're going to have to do tubes. And I was like, I don't want to have tubes. I don't want to have tubes. Not that there's anything wrong with it. So yeah. I said, can I have till Monday? And they said, sure. And so over the weekend, I started to think, wait, he has water in his ears. That's what he constantly has water. And sometimes it's infected and sometimes it's not.
Yes.
And I thought when I was a swimmer, I would get water in my ears. I'd get swimmer's ear. I'm going to put rubbing alcohol in his ears. And over the weekend, doing the rubbing alcohol in his ears dried up completely. And when I went back Monday, the doctor was like, this is the first time I've seen this child in the last 4 months where he doesn't have fluid in his ears. Oh. And I was like, well, I used rubbing alcohol.
Incredible.
And she was like, yeah, but the horrible thing was he'd already been through all of the antibiotics. And, you know, and so he's my only son that has a little bit of a tendency to have a little bit of a rundown immune system because of all the antibiotics when he was young.
Yeah, totally. It is amazing. I don't know if many people know this about you, Lisa, but just being ready, you are kind of a like homeopathic slash nurse slash fix it. Like you're one of those that, you know, I can ask about anything and you're like, have you tried this? And so I love that about you. I'm like, I don't know if you should have went in the medical field, but you definitely have a really good common sense about that stuff.
Thank you. Well, we had no insurance for a long time. So I had to figure out how to do it the other ways. Right.
Okay. So let me ask you, what was your favorite part about being a mom? Or what's your favorite part, I should say?
You know, the whole wonder of the experience, the privilege of this entrustment. And I think the awareness of the love that you have for your kids creates such a huge awareness of the love that God has for you. I don't even know if I really understood the love of God until I actually had a child where I would have killed, like, I mean, had nightmares about somebody trying to hurt them or steal them or whatever. And how protective my mother heart was. And then to think that God was even more so, and that he would even use a mother's heart to describe his affection for us. you know, like a lioness robbed of, like a mother bear, sorry, mother bear robbed of its cubs, like a lioness, yeah. I'll tear your heart out. He's talking about yeah. Israel. He's talking about his people. And I know I did feel that incredible love, protection, and it just translated very different to me. Yeah. And having boys and just seeing that, you know, the patience of God with me, my children helped. I know this sounds weird to have one, but my kids really helped grow me up.
Totally.
There were just things I would never have faced in my life if I hadn't had children.
I totally agree with that. I absolutely think that it's really a place of laying your life down and really seeing yourself. I think that's the hardest part, is that we actually see our weakness every single day as a mom, and you don't have to see that in any other areas as much.
Right. And I do think moms go to bed feeling bad about everything they did every single day. And here's the thing. I mean, I have amazing kids and I can be ridiculous. And so I love, it's kind of still true. Like what the OBGYN said to you about your pregnancies, it's kind of still true. I mean, God is bigger and yeah. His grace is bigger. And John and I are not perfect parents in any way, shape, or form. We've done a lot of stupid stuff, but we are great apologizers. Yeah. And so we have always tried to say, gosh, we really didn't do that right. That was, you know, I mean, my kids every once in a while bring up, like, we never let them see any Disney movies or whatever. So yeah. Like, we did let them see some, but there were some we didn't. And they're like, remember how we couldn't see those? I'm like, yeah. But now that Addison has kids, he's like, yeah, I don't really want my kids seeing
that. I know.
And I'm like, what?
It's so true. I fought my parents on stuff until I became a parent. And then it's like, you know what? It's true. That way they were particular on that. But you're right. And I love that. I think apologizing is really key. I love how you said that, because I think that makes you really human and lets them know that you're still in process. And
absolutely. Oh, now, goodness. Talk about still in process. I have a puppy, which I should have learned not to do this from having a puppy. She's freaking out. So I'm going to, while I'm on the phone with you, I'm worried she's going to pee in her crate. I'm going to go pick her up and take her outside.
Maybe you're panting or yelps, we'll know why.
If you hear me scream, don't. It's because she peed on me or something. Hi, honey. Aww. You're freaking out, aren't you? Yep. You are freaking out. And you did pee. You did pee. You're so happy to see me. She always does like the obligatory, like, I submit to you.
Yes.
Pee. I'm always like, please don't. Please don't.
The little leak.
Yep. Now that brand new pad is going to have to be washed. Okay.
So cute.
I love motherhood so much. I said, I need a puppy. I need a puppy too.
Let me ask you, do you think it's easier being a mom or a dad? Can I even ask that?
Well, it's definitely easier for me to be a mom than a dad. But I don't know. You know, it's, I think, she's mad at me now. No. I think it's harder to be a mom, to be honest with you. I do. I think that maybe there was a time period that it was easier. I'm not even sure about that. You know, I think moms really end up stewarding their children's hearts a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's a difficult thing where I think it's a tightrope. Like, men automatically get a lot of respect from their kids.
Yeah.
Moms have to kind of navigate this nurture and respect situation, which is sometimes very, very different. So I don't know. I think it's harder. I think that we feel things. We carry our kids in our hearts.
Yep.
And I think that can be a beautiful thing, but also a very challenging thing.
Yeah.
So I know for me, I would never want to be anything but a mom, but I don't think being a mom is easy.
No, I would agree. No, that's a really good point. And we do carry our kids in our hearts. I love that. Okay. I have two last questions and then I'll let you go, because I know you're going to Denver. But my question is, what's the best piece of advice you could give someone who is about to have their first child?
Okay. Relax. They have absolutely no idea. You don't know what you're doing. Uh-oh. Hold on. My puppy just pulled my thing out. Are you there?
I'm here. I love it.
Okay. Stop. She's really ticked off about this. Okay. Your kids just don't know that you don't know what you're doing. And I think sometimes there's just so much advice and you just get really nervous that you're going to like touch the wrong cheek when you're nursing the child and ruin them, and they're never going to bond. And none of that really happens. It's really, I don't know why they make it so difficult. A lot of it is very natural.
And I think it's really important to encourage moms to trust their intuition,
yeah,
and trust their heart on some stuff, and then get older women around them to help them with some stuff, because they shouldn't have to learn everything on their own. Now, you know, not somebody that's going to criticize them, but somebody's sure. like, hey, this is what I found. I found an older woman who had, you know, she was probably like 10 years older than me at the time, but she had kids that were so well-behaved. I thought, oh my gosh, if I could have kids, like, and her name was Sam, like Sam, then I would be so happy. And so I watched her kids. I watched how they talked to each other. I watched how they talked to her. I watched how they interacted with, you know, me as an adult. Sure. And I said, tell me your secret. And she said, I never say no twice.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, okay. And she said, you have to mean what you say, say what you mean. And she said, it's just, you know, really, this is our discipline with our kids. And she was just so helpful with me. And she was wow. just like a no nonsense mom. And she, I just thought, oh, I want to do it like her. She's doing it right.
It's so
and true. Yeah,
it's like the person of hope. It's like, teach me. We have to do it on our own. And even with you, I ask you questions and like, what do I do about this? Or, you know, we kind of swap stories and all of that, but it's true. You can find somebody out there who's gone there before you. It's really what we miss by not living in a village, you know, or living.
No, it's true.
Yeah. We miss that.
And the constant comparison.
Yeah.
You know, because like, if you don't feel like, oh my gosh, nobody else is going through this. I'm the only person that is fighting these feelings. True. I'm the only person that wants to put the baby in the garage in the middle of the night because I can't sleep. You know, that, you know, if that's how you're feeling, then you're not going to ask somebody if you think everybody else has the perfect baby and their house is white. Or there's somebody I follow and everything is white. I'm like, how is that happening? Like, there's no way that everything could be white in my house. It's just not going to happen. So, but I have to be like, okay, Lisa, you, she lives in a different world. She lives in a photo set. Just don't even worry about it. You're not that person. It's but true. I do think the comparison thing causes a lot of people to not ask when they need to be able to ask, you know?
I do too. And it really comes down to, it's almost like nobody has the courage, until somebody has the courage to say, this is what it's like for me. And then everyone goes, me too. And you're always amazed that people react. But initially it's like, nobody really wants to say that this is how hard it is. Or, you know, often people will say to me, what's it like being a mom? And I'll say, it's glorious and it's horrible. And they kind of look at me like, are you really going to be honest like that? I said, yeah, because it is. It is.
Well, did you want me to answer you with a lie?
That's right. It's both. And you can actually have the same feeling within the first 10 seconds of this is glorious and it's horrible.
The most encouraging and discouraging.
Yes.
You know, I think that really true. Oops.
I keep unplugging you, Pavla. I'm so sorry. I love you. Well, I know
I am
taking
so
like
bad.
So much time from you, and but they
I'm
don't know.
I'm not one on my puppy, but it wasn't.
Well, we've had. I mean, they don't know. We've already had another like 30-minute conversation before this because Lisa and I just. My husband looks at me and says, "Are we actually going to do the podcast?"
Oh my gosh, it's so true.
I'm so grateful. I love you. You are such an encouragement. And for those that are listening to this podcast and think, "Gosh, I'd like to hear more from Pavla and Lisa, you guys can actually go over to our Moms of Men course, and it's available both at Messenger International or at Truth the Table, and you can watch us. We have 12 sessions where we actually take different types of topics like sexuality or parenting or discipline or communication, and I actually went to Lisa's home. We sat at the table, and we just had some really good conversations. Mostly, I just listened to Lisa.
No, you had such great input. Because like when I was doing it, we had to make it up. You are like, actually now there's a book for that and there's an app for that. And I'm like, really? How did I not have any of that?
It's
but no.
True. You guys, that is very
funnest true. Curriculum ever.
It is. I love you, Lisa. I will we'll talk soon, but I just appreciate you being on the podcast today.
Oh, I always will do it for you, Pavla. You're amazing. And happy Mother's Day.
Yes. Here we go. I love you.
You have a great, okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that was a full and exciting and fun and funny interview. I love Lisa. I love her humor. And so anyways, thanks again, Lisa, for joining us. If you want to find out more about what Lisa's up to and where you can connect with her, go to lisabevere.com. She also just released a brand new book called Adamant, Finding Truth in a Universe of Opinions. It's an amazing, really, really important book, and would really encourage you to check that out and pick that up and get it on Amazon or anywhere you buy books. And again, we always love staying connected with you. If you would love to leave us a review on this podcast, if you are a subscriber, if you have been listening for a while, we always appreciate hearing from you guys. We always love reviews. We read each and every one of them. And again, you can always find Havila on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. And so, yeah, also would love to connect with you in person if you are anywhere that she'll be traveling over this summertime. We've got a few events coming up over the next few months. So check out her travel schedule on HavilaCunnington.com. That is all we have for today. Stay tuned. We're going to have one more podcast, hopefully, on motherhood later this month, if not in the next week or so. So anyways, thanks so much for tuning in. Have a wonderful day. We'll catch you next time.